Morning, church. We're reading from the final chapter of Acts. Acts 28, which can be found on page 1126 of the church Bibles. So, Acts 28, fall ashore on Malta. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was ill in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of those on the island who were ill came and were cured. They honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lovely. Thanks, Julie. That was his last minute standing. Richard was supposed to read today, but he's poorly, so please pray for Richard. And Jill's just read 31 verses, just like that. So you did very well, thank you. Before I tell you all about it, or try to, let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us here today to worship you, to praise you, to listen to your word. Please let my words today be a true reflection of your word, in what today's section of the Bible is trying to tell us. Please give us understanding of your word, Lord. Show us how to apply it every day in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, we've come to the end of Acts. It's page 1126, as Julie said. If you'd like to keep your Bible open, it'd be useful. I'm sure, as you know, the book of Acts, or the book of the Acts of the Apostles, was written by Luke, the doctor, one of the apostles. And over the last few weeks, we've worked our way through the final chapters of it. It's a great book. I think it's been wonderful. I love reading it. It's a wonderful history. And it's the history of what happened from when Jesus ascended into heaven until Luke finishes his history about what the apostles did. We've been reading from chapter 18, and I've got a suggestion for you, a little bit of homework, because it is such a great book, and because we haven't looked at the beginning of it for a long time now, go home and read all of Acts. It's 28 pages, 28 book chapters, and it's quite a long book, but it is so good. I promise you that you will thoroughly enjoy reading it. It's a page turner. It really is a page turner. And when you get to the end, you'll be so sad because it's finished. Because he finishes very abruptly, as I'll talk about later on. But please, a little bit of homework. If you fancy doing it, go home and read the book of Acts. It's great. So we started, as I say, with Paul in chapter 27, with Paul's perilous journey. And that was from Adrytium to Rome. And if we could have the map. There we are. And that is Adrytium there. This is a map of the area as it was. That's Lesbos. That's Adrytium in Turkey. It's no longer there. It doesn't exist anymore. But that's where they started from. They marched Paul there, as you remember, I'm sure. In the book of Acts, there was about 200 or 300 of them marching all the way to Adrytium, and then they found a boat. If you look at the beginning of Acts 27 and 28, sorry, I've jumped a bit. If we could have the next map, you'll see over there, that bit there is where Adrytium was. There's Lesbos, and from there, all the way over to there, Rome, is 780 miles. But that's as the crow flies, straight across. And as you know, in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, he had to come all the way down here, all the way up there, and then he went to Malta, which we end up in today's reading. And that's an awful long way. The island of Malta is 60 miles south of Sicily, but that's nearly from there to Rome, another 450 miles. And that's, again, as the crow flies, because before that he popped into Syracuse, which isn't there, but it's not mentioned, but it's about there. And then they went from Syracuse up to around about here to Naples. There was another port, because they couldn't get any nearer to Rome, And then they had to go on foot from there all the way to Rome, which was another 146 miles. So it was a massive journey. So not only was it incredibly long and tiring journey, as we've read about over the last few weeks, and as we've read about today, it was a dangerous journey. Apart from the shipwreck, they were blown here and there and hither and thither. They all survived. But then when we got to the island, Paul was bitten by a snake. But God had promised a safe passage. He promised it to Paul in chapter 27. And he let nothing stop Paul. He had a plan for Paul. This was God's plan. Paul was doing it, but it was God's plan. Luke said that once they reached the land, they built a fire to get warm and dry off. Just in passing, when you read the book of Acts, sometimes Luke writes in the third person, he says that they were doing something. Sometimes he writes in the first person, he says we were doing something. So he was actually with him, he was with Paul on this journey. He was with Paul on an awful lot of his journeys, not just this one, but an awful lot of them. And so we can be pretty sure when he says we, he was there. So he did this perilous journey all the way from Turkey over to Rome and all the things that happened in between. Back to the fire on the beach. Immediately you see a little bit more action. Immediately Paul picks up some brushwood to put it onto the fire and the snake bites him. Didn't do him any harm at all. He just shook it off as though it wasn't there. He shook it off into the fire. Our lives are in God's hands. As I've said, this was God's doing. Paul was there because God sent him there. We continue on, or we come to the end. It's all in God's good timing. Whatever we do is in God's timing. God still had work for Paul to do. He wasn't going to let him come to his end yet, so he shook the snake off into the fire, and he survived. The people of Malta were incredibly superstitious. They believed in so many gods. They were yet to be Christians. But don't worry, because Paul's there. And pretty soon, there's Christians all over the place. He knows what he's doing. So does God. And straight away in verse 4, it says, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess of justice has not allowed him to live. When they saw that Paul was unhurt by that viper, that poisonous snake, they thought he was a god. It reminds us of an incident back in chapter 14. If we can have that up on the screen. It says, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and reeds to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them, to Paul and Barnabas. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this to us? We too are only human. Like you, we are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. Turn from the idols. Turn from all those gods who made the... Turn to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all the nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowds from sacrificing to them. The thing is, they did convince them that they weren't gods. They did convince them that there was only one God. They were spreading the gospel. All these people that believed in all of these other different gods stopped believing them and believed in one God. I say all of them. Unfortunately, it wasn't all of them, but it was a lot of them. And it's the same on Malta. That faithful down the road to Damascus, Paul continues to minister to others and to spread the gospel. He's doing it even as a shipwrecked prisoner. All that he's been through, he still can't stop telling people about God, about Jesus and how wonderful he is and what he does for you. On this trip alone, there's a centurion, the chief official of Malta, and loads and loads and loads of them in Malta and on that boat. I think there was about 300 people on that boat, if I remember rightly, from what I read. And he's been spreading the gospel to them. The gospel spread like wildfire from one person to the other. Once they'd listened to Paul, they were off. Verse 7 tells us Publius, the chief of chief official of the island. He welcomed them and he showed them generous hospitality for 3 days. And we're told his father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. Again, he's healed him. Again, the people on the island, on Malta, have seen what he's done and they believe. The news has spread like wildfire and the rest of the sick on the island were brought to him or they hobbled to him, whatever, and they were cured. The islanders were very kind and generous to all of them. And when after 3 months they were ready to sail, they gave them their supplies they needed. And eventually they reached Puteo, which I showed you on the map up there, which was the port in Italy near Naples. And that was about 140 miles from Rome, 146 miles. And once they reached Rome, verse 14 tells us, there we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. Brothers and sisters were fellow believers, of course. Paul uses that phrase all the way through. All the way through all of his books, brothers and sisters were fellow believers. Where did all the believers in Rome come from? Because Paul hadn't been there yet. The gospel message is spread to Rome by various methods. Many of the Jews who lived in Rome would visit Jerusalem for religious festivals. Some have been present at Pentecost when the Spirit came down on the apostles. And they'd all believed in Jesus and brought the message back to Rome with them. Paul had also written his letter to the Romans sometime earlier. He wrote to the Romans, all the Roman believers, all the brothers and sisters, to help with their beliefs. And the Christians openly went to meet Paul and they encouraged him. And there was a decree of Claudius expelling the Jews from Rome, which was mentioned in chapter 8, verse 2. But you've got them all back in Rome now, so it must have been temporary, or people forgot about it, or whatever. But anyway, the Jewish leaders were back in Rome, so the Jews hadn't been expelled. But Paul was speaking to those Jewish leaders, and lots of those Jewish leaders became Christians. Paul had wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, and eventually he got there. He was in chains and he was shipwrecked. He was after many trials, but he got there. Although he may have wished for an easier passage, he knew that God had blessed him greatly in allowing to meet the other believers in Rome and preach the message to both the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are so important. Paul preached first of all to the Jews. An awful lot of them didn't listen, and he went off and preached to the Gentiles. An awful lot of them didn't listen. An awful lot of them did. We're Gentiles and we listen. We know, don't we? All things work, in all things, God is working for Paul's God. God is helping Paul right the way through. And you can do trust God to do the same for you. He's going to help you. He helps you all the time. He may not make you comfortable or secure, but he will provide you with the opportunity to do his work. And he also lets you know that you have got security forever. Because when you're gone, you're going to be with Jesus. Eventually, Paul got to speak to all the Jewish leaders in Rome. They're not Christians, not yet, but they will be, some of them. Chapter 22 says that they wanted to hear about Jesus, as people everywhere were talking about this sect. And verse 24 onwards tells us, some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Understanding with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. The Romans, in an awful lot of places, denounced the Christians because they were seen as a threat to the Roman establishment. The Romans didn't like the Christians. We know what the Romans did to them. The Christians believed in one God. The Romans believed in many, many, many gods. They included Caesar. They thought Caesar was a god as well. The Christians were committed to a much, much higher authority than Caesar. Paul used the Old Testament to teach the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. The book of Romans, in one of the commentaries I read says it was written 10 years earlier. Another one said it was 3. So we're not quite sure when Paul wrote it. But he did write to the Romans, and it reveals Paul's ongoing dialogue with the Jews in Rome. He kept talking to them, kept encouraging them. Paul remained in Rome under guard in a rented house for 2 years. The greatest apostle and spokesman for Christianity ever was unable to move freely and minister as he wanted to. Paul wanted to get out there telling people. He didn't complain, he didn't despair. He simply did what he could, the best that he managed, the best he could do for God's will. He wrote letters. He wrote loads of letters while he was in Rome. They called the prison letters. And he wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Colossians, he wrote to the Philippians. And those letters impacted millions of believers then and through the centuries to now. We're reading his letters all the time and we're learning from them all the time. And he also wrote personal letters. He wrote one to Philemon. And we heard about Philemon a little while ago. We've already suggested that Luke was with Paul in Rome. Paul's second letter to Timothy, verse 11, confirms it. And it says, it tells us that Luke was with him. He actually says it in that letter. Timothy also visited him. Titius visited him. Epaphroditus visited him. And Mark visited him. And all this time Paul was witnessing to the whole of the Roman guard. All those people that were guarding him, he was telling them about Jesus. I think it's wonderful. That's in Philippians chapter 1 if you want to read it. And was also involved with all of the Roman believers. So if you find yourself in a negative or an unpleasant situation, and Paul's situation is pretty negative, look for ways to redeem the circumstances. There's never a time or place where you can't glorify and serve God. Whatever you're doing, it may feel horrible. You may think God's let you down, but he hasn't. He never lets you down, and you can always spread his wonderful word. The book of the Acts of the Apostles ends here. And as I've said before, it ends quite abruptly. It just stops. And if you do read through it, you'll feel very disappointed that he's not going on to tell you what else they're doing and what else has happened. But tradition says that Paul was released after that 2 years of house arrest. It's not in the Bible, but if you read lots of other things about Paul, it tells you that he'd left on his fourth missionary journey after that house arrest of 2 years in Rome. And there are lots of reasons that we think this. Luke doesn't give an account of Paul's trials before Caesar. Did he go before Caesar? We don't think he did. And Luke was a really detailed chronicler. What Luke wrote was absolutely spot on. The persecution had a statute of limitations on what they could do. And that statute was 2 years. They had 2 years to bring a case against Paul. And they didn't do it. So we think that that means that Paul didn't ever go before Caesar. He never went to trial. And in Paul's letter to the Philippians, which was written while he was imprisoned in Rome, Paul implied that he would soon be released and be doing further travelling. He told them that he'd be off soon. Paul mentioned several places where he intended to take the gospel, but he's never visited those places in his third missionary journey. They never mentioned that he actually got there in the Bible, although he says he's going to go there. So we think that he did go there after this 2 years in Rome. And finally, early Christian literature plainly talks about the other travels of Paul. It's not in the Bible, but there's loads of Christian literature about what he did. So during that time of freedom, Paul may have continued to travel extensively, even going off to Spain. He said in loads of these letters that he wanted to go to Spain and back to the churches in Greece. The book of 1 Timothy and in Titus were written during that time. Later, Paul was imprisoned again, probably in Rome once more, where he wrote his last letter, and that last letter was to 2 Timothy. And it was after that that we think he was martyred. So why does the book of Acts end so abruptly? The book of Acts was not about the life of Paul. Although he's mentioned so much in it, it wasn't actually about his life. It was about the spread of the gospel. It was about how the gospel went from Jesus on the cross to the whole world and how it went off there. God thought it wasn't necessary for someone else or for anyone to write an additional book describing the continued history of what the apostles were doing, the early church. We'd got to where we were and it was going like wildfire, and God knew that it would continue to grow. So we didn't need to be told anymore. Now, the gospel has been preached and established at the centre of trade and government. It was spread across the world. The book of Acts deals with the history of the Christian church and its expansion in ever-widening circles touching Jerusalem, Antioch, Ephesus, Rome, the most influential places and cities in the Western world at that time. Acts also shows the mighty miracles and testimonies of the heroes and martyrs of the early church. Those heroes and martyrs, Peter, Stephen, James, Paul, there are so many more. All the ministry was prompted and held together by the Holy Spirit, working in the lives of ordinary people. It's working in all your lives too. Merchants, travellers, slaves, jailers, church leaders, males, females, Gentiles, Jews, rich, poor. The Holy Spirit was with them all the time, and through them, the Holy Spirit was spreading the gospel all over the world. Many unsung heroes of faith continue to work through the Holy Spirit in succeeding generations, changing the world with changeless images. Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour to all who call on him. Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour to all who call on him. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Today, we can be those unsung heroes. We can be in the continuing story of the spread of the gospel. It's the same message that we Christians are able to take to the world so that many more may go and hear it. People are going out and doing amazing things in the name of Christianity. We've got a man in this congregation today that has been going out and doing amazing things very soon in the name of Christianity. I'm not going to tell you who he is because it would embarrass him. But if you come to me later on, I might whisper his name. All right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a meeting. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful history of your apostles and disciples. Please help us to follow in their footsteps in spreading the good news of the gospel wherever we can, however we can, and to whomever we can. Paul's life was hard and painful, but he wasn't deterred. Please, dear Lord, when our way is hard and painful, put your loving arms around us and give us the courage to continue. We love and worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.